Okay, let's start. The address of Pope Francis to the students of the Jesuit schools. Have you got your sheet, your pen, pencil? Ready? You hear lacking pens here? Paul up here? Let's go. I'd like first of all to tell you something that has to do with St. Ignatius of Loyola, our founder. In the autumn of 1537, on his way to Rome, with a group of his first companions, he wondered, people ask us who we are, how should we answer? The answer came spontaneously. We shall say that we are the Society of Jesus. This demanding name intends to suggest a relationship of a very close friendship and of total affection for Jesus, in whose footsteps they wanted to follow. Why have I told you about this event? Because St. Ignatius and his companions had realized that Jesus was teaching them how to live well, how to live a life that had profound meaning, that imparted enthusiasm, joy and hope. It understood that Jesus is a great teacher of life and a model of life. That he was not only teaching them, but also inviting them to follow him on this path. So right down next to the path, this is for you. Jesus is my best friend. Write that down. Jesus is my best friend. Move over one. Just move over one. Yeah. Jesus is my best friend. So one of the primary purposes of this year in confirmation is to recognize that Jesus is not someone that simply lived 2,000 years ago. He's real and he wants to be your best friend. Amen? He wants to be your best friend. So Jesus is my best friend. Next. Dear young people, dear young people, if I were to ask you now Why do you go to school? What would you answer me? There'd probably be a whole range of replies according to the sensibility of each person. And I think that they could all be summed up together by saying that school is one of the educational environments in which we grow, in which we develop through learning how to live, how to become grown up, mature men and women who can travel, who can follow the road of life. How does school help you to grow? Helps you not only by developing your intelligence, but also by an integral formation of the aspects of your personality. And now, in the following, what St. Ignatius teaches us, the main element of at school is to learn to be magnanimous. If you look in the margin, and you can see a big word. And that word you see in the margin is kind of hard to pronounce. Anyone want to try to pronounce it? It's a tough word. It's a... Say it again. Almost. You're pretty close. You're all very close. We're not hitting the nail on the head. Anyone else? Pretty good. Okay, it's a magnanimity. You came pretty close. Magnanimity. Magnanimity. Once more, magnanimity. Okay, now it's a Greek word. It's a compound Greek word where you have two words actually. Magna and anima. Magna means great. And anima actually means soul. So it's a great soul, or a very generous soul. Okay? Anyone want to know what would be the opposite word to magnanimity, the antonym? Pusillanimity. Okay. Pusillanimity. Pusillanimity. Okay, so pusillanimity means someone who is very selfish. So he only thinks about himself, okay? So magnanimity, a person is really generous, wants to give himself totally to God and others. Spanish, you speak Spanish, magnanimidad. Pusillanimidad, almost the same as in English. Magnanimidad, okay? Okay. So having gone through that very important word, okay, in following what St. Ignatius teaches us, the main element at school is to learn to be, how do you say that?
Magnanimous.
Okay, you're getting it. Magnanimous. Okay, the following word is, so write that in there. Okay. Magnanimity. Okay, look in the margin. It says it means having a great heart, having greatness of mind, means having great ideals, the wish to do great things, to respond to what God asks of us. That's a pretty good definition of magnanimity. This virtue of the great and the small, non coercere maximo continere minimo divinum est. I'd like you to translate that into English. Pretty hard, right? Do any of you know? This is from the Greek language. Do any of you know what that language is that I just read? That's Latin. Okay. You're gonna end up this class knowing Greek and Latin, Spanish and English. How about that? You're going to be polyglots. Do you know what a polyglot is? Someone that knows more than one language. A monoglot, someone that only knows one language. You've probably heard monopoly. You ever heard monopoly? Mono, one, poly, many, one and many. That's what monopoly means. No? Mono, monopoly, one and many, yes. What's that? Well, it's no longer spoken, but if you really want to get to know the key documents of the church, some of the greatest writers, they wrote in Latin. Who do you think was one of the greatest writers in the world? You ever hear of St. Augustine? St. Augustine wrote in Latin. Now, we translated it into English. He wrote Confessions, the City of God, on the Trinity, beautiful sermons. No? St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in Latin. St. Jerome translated the Bible from Greek and Aramaic into Latin. Okay? Greek and Aramaic into Latin. Now, most of you are brought up and raised with Spanish, Mexicans. It would be more difficult for me because I was brought up basically just with English. Because Spanish and Latin is very, very similar. Very similar. The English language is much more difficult. It's different, rather. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to our text. So magnanimity is this virtue of the great and the small, which always makes us look at the horizon. You know what the horizon means in English? Like the outline of the sky, right? That's the horizon. What does being magnanimous mean? Means having a great heart, having greatness of mind, means having great ideals, the wish to do great things, to respond to what God asks of us. Hence, also, for this very reason, to do well the routine things of every day and all the daily actions, tasks, meetings with people, doing the little everyday things with a great, what would that be? A great heart. Great heart. Open to who? Open to God. And open to others. So we got to go up to God. We got to go out to others. See, that's the form of the cross. Up to God. Out to others. Open to God and to others. It is therefore important to cultivate human formation with a view to magnanimity. What would be human formation? Being honest, being punctual, being diligent, being courteous. These are called human formation. I think that the Jesuit schools take special care to develop human virtues. Human virtues. Then the Pope gives some human virtues. Loyalty. What does that mean? Loyalty. The loyalty means? What? Yeah, can you give me an example? What would be an example of loyalty? That'd be maybe reverence. Loyal, like loyal to a friend means, say for example, you tell your friend you're going to be at a certain place at a certain time, you're being loyal to that friend. Loyalty. Respect. That means you recognize the dignity of other people. Faithfulness. You're there in good times and bad. You know, when your parents got married, what did they say? They said they promised to be faithful in good times and in bad, in health and in sickness, in riches and in poverty, until what? Until death. That's what's said on the day of the wedding vows. Promise to be faithful in good times and bad. Health and sickness. Riches and poverty. Until death do you part. And dedication. So dedication means that you've got a strong will to carry out your good proposals. Okay, so that being the case, let's move on to, I would like to reflect on two fundamental values. Two fundamental values. They are what do you think?
Freedom.
Freedom, very good. Freedom. freedom and service. Okay, let's look to the margin and see what is true freedom. Many people have a false interpretation of what freedom really is. Freedom. Let us be free for goodness. And in this, do not be afraid to go against the tide, even if it is not easy. Always being free to choose goodness is demanding, but it will make you into people with a backbone who can face life. People with courage and patience. You ever hear the expression to swim against the current? What does it mean to swim against the current? It's an expression. What does it mean to swim against the current? You need to be willing to be different from people. Not to follow everyone, but rather be different. If even though you might be criticized, they might laugh at you, they might point their finger at you. You have to be willing to be different. Follow Christ is not always easy. They're willing to be another technical way of saying to be countercultural, to go against the culture. A lot of things in the culture are not good. We have to go in the opposite direction. So freedom. First of all, be free people. Be free people. What do I mean? Perhaps it is thought that freedom means doing everything one likes, or seeing how far one can go by trying drunkenness and overcoming boredom. This is not freedom. Freedom means being able to think about what we do, being able to assess what is good, what is bad. These are the types of conduct that lead to development. Means always opting for the good. Let us be free for goodness. And in this, do not be afraid to go against the tide. Do you guys have school on Monday, or is that a holiday? Okay. Do you know? Why we celebrate Veterans Day on November 11th? It's actually a religious reason. Somebody knows Spanish, Martino Caballero? Yeah. Martino Caballero. Many years ago, there was a Roman soldier that was on his horse in the middle of winter, and he had a cloak on. He looked down, and he saw that there was a man that was shivering in the cold. What? What he did was this. He had a sword, and he actually cut his cloak into two parts. And he gave half of it to the poor man who was shivering, dying of cold. And Martin was a Roman soldier. He was not a Christian yet. That very night he had a dream. And in the dream he saw that poor man who was wearing the cloak was Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, he decided to enter into the Christian church. He became a Catholic. He became a priest. He became a bishop. And he's known for his goodness. That's what we're talking about now, his goodness. That he wanted to help people. So you're called also to be good. Even if you're surrounded by a lot of people that are bad, you should try to be good. You're surrounded by bad people, the tendency is we imitate the bad. But rather we should try to do good, even when we are not given good example by many people. So goodness. So that's why on Friday we celebrate Veterans Day, because in honor of San Martin Caballero. Very few people know that, no? He was a soldier. It's really the day in which we commemorate our soldiers who have died for our country, right? Okay, so let's move on to the next. Goodness. And in this, do not be afraid to go against the tide, even if it is not easy. Always be free to choose goodness. It's demanding, but it'll make you into people with a backbone. That means someone that has strength, a backbone. Who can face life? So people with courage, write that in there. People with courage and patience. People with courage and patience. We already talked about that martyr, that Mexican martyr that was made a saint about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember what his name was? Who was it? Do you remember we talked about him a couple weeks ago? His name was San Jose Luis Sanchez del Rios. Remember how he died? How did he die? They cut his feet, right? And then how did he eventually die? They shot him. Talk about courage, right? He was only 14 years old, about your age. Maybe you're older. Both courage and patience. Okay, there below you've got parousia y epomene. Those would be the words for courage and patience in Greek. Okay, now, the second word is? Great. And service, as the Pope says, be men and women with others. And for others. True champions at the service of others. What do you think in the long run gives you more happiness? Serving or being served? It's easier to be served. We probably prefer that. We want people to serve us. But we all know from experience when we go out of our way to serve others, we actually feel better afterward. Feel much more joy in our soul where we're giving. Amen. About a month ago, the Pope canonized Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She would say, you are called to give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. She was there in Calcutta and she saw this man eaten by maggots, by worms, and he was dying, and no one did anything to help out the poor guy, and she put him on a mat and brought him into a little place so that he could die with dignity. That was the beginning of the Missionaries of Charity. He wasn't even a Catholic. You know, Calcutta, almost all the people, they're Buddhists, they're Hindus, no? Very few Catholics. Mother Teresa went on to be probably the greatest woman in the world last century because she believed in the importance of service. Serving others. Service. Anyone ever serve you? I bet your mother serves your dinner, right? Your mother probably serves your dinner. Say thank you. Thank you. I think we kind of take it for granted. Mom's been working, went to the supermarket, got the food there, prepared it, put it on the table, working out for 3 or 4 hours. And you sit down at the table, I don't like that. Oh, boy. Poor mom, huh? You know, just saying those two words, thank you, can make your mother happy the whole night. Or if you complain and you grumble, it can make her feel sad. Okay, so next. Second word is service. In your schools, you take part in various activities that accustom you to not retreating into yourselves or into your own small world, rather to being open to others, especially the poorest. Neediest. Who are the ones that Jesus seemed to have a special preference for? Was it the rich people that had a lot of money? Was those his favorites? Blind. Deaf. The lepers. Paralytics. Those that the society tend to reject. He went out of his way to help out the poorest of the poor, like Mother Teresa. Whereas the rich people, well, they can fend for themselves, but he went out of his way to help out the poor. This lady told me that she would go down to Tijuana for Christmas, and she'd load her car with toys. So she drove across the border, Tijuana, and she drove her car outside the city of Tijuana. We have a lot of people living in real poverty, you know. And she got out of her car, and in front of the house were the two little kids, and she started to unload some of the toys. And the two little kids said, "Lady, we don't want any toys. We haven't eaten for 2 days. Give us a couple of taquitos." Hadn't eaten in a couple of days. Toys later. First, give us to eat. Serving the poorest of the poor. They accustom you to working hard to improve the world in which we live. Be men and women be men and women with others. Men and women with others and for others. True champions at the service. True champions at the service of others. In order to be magnanimous with inner freedom in the spirit of service, spiritual formation is necessary. Dear young people, love Jesus Christ more and more. So what the Pope is saying, for us to really serve others, we first have to have this friendship with Christ. To love Christ. Once we have this friendship with Christ, we love Christ, then we can serve others. So dear young people, love Jesus Christ more and more. Our life is a response to His call, and you will be happy. Do you think everyone in this world wants to be happy? Do you think everybody is happy?
No.
Why is there so many girls today? They're cutting their wrists. Why is suicide really becoming more and more common? I thought about it. Everyone wants to be happy. Why do you have so many people that are sad? Never wants to be happy, right? Why are so many sad people? Well, I think 20% of the Americans take pills for depression. Maybe one out of five. What do you think? Partially, but I think one of the reasons why is because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. They want to be happy, but they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. How many people tonight are going to be going to the casino right here in Hawaiian Gardens or Las Vegas? And are they going to come out of the casino really happy? You're probably going to say, depends, no? I disagree. Because even if they win, they're going to say, oh, I won, $2,000. If I stayed another 3 hours, I would have won $5,000. So the point is this. Material things can buy us pleasure, but only God can give us true happiness. Amen? Material things can buy us pleasure. And you can buy a Baskin and Robbins, ice cream, huh? You can maybe buy a pizza. That causes a certain amount of pleasure, which depends upon external stimuli. But only God can give us that true happiness that every person is really longing for. Last night I was following the elections a little bit, and something made me feel very sad. The legalization of marijuana. Did you know that? That made me feel very sad. Yeah, in California. Yeah, it was passed. So that means a lot of people are going to be running there to buy marijuana so they can get it high. That's really not going to produce happiness. Maybe some momentary high, okay? But what goes up has to come down, right? It's called the law of gravity, huh?
Yeah. Last year, there's a lot more accidents and a lot of problems because of this.
Yeah, you're going to be driving, you can't really think as clearly, your reaction is slower. Hey, it's terrible. And once people recognize it's legal, they think that it's moral. So recognize that most laws are pretty good, but some laws are very bad. Can you tell me a law that's a very bad law in this country? So it's the worst law that's bad in this country. It was promulgated in 1973, January 22nd. The legalization of what? Begins with an A, B, O, R, T, I, O, N. What?
Abortion.
Of abortion. I mean, it's legal. But it's immoral. So not everything that is legal is necessarily going to be moral. It's very important that you try to differentiate between the two. Legality and morality are not the same thing. Okay, so our life is a response to his call, and you'll be happy. And you'll build your life well. You can answer this. What? This call. May you feel the Lord's presence in your life. May you feel the Lord's presence in your life. He is close to each one of you as a companion, as a friend who knows how to help and understand you, who encourages you in difficult times, never abandons you. And that's a very important point. Even our best friend will sometimes fail us. All of you have friends, I'm sure you do. Even our best friend will sometimes fail us. But Jesus Christ is your best friend, and he will never fail you. In Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. How do you translate that? One of the first things I learned in Spanish in Argentina, a big, beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and below, Jesus, el amigo que nunca falla. Can you translate that? What's that? Perfect. Great translation. So, Jesus is the friend that will never fail us. We fail. Others fail us. He'll never fail us. So you can talk to him in any time in your life and entrust yourself to him. We're trying to do this, Paul. We're trying to establish a friendship between them and Christ. It's hard. In one of my homilies a couple of weeks ago, I said, every night before you go to bed, 5 minutes, put an image of this, of Jesus before, and just talk to him. Talk to him and tell him what went on. Tell him, you know, your joys, your sorrows, your fears, your worries, your desires, your goals, your dreams. Tell him. He's a great listener, too. Best listener. Okay, now, friend who knows how to help and understand you, who who encourages you in difficult times and never abandons you in prayer, in conversation with Him, and in reading the Bible, you'll discover that He is truly close. You'll always learn to read God's signs in your life. He always speaks to us, also through the events of our time and our daily life. It is up to us to listen to Him. Let's read below. It says, God's love. May you feel the Lord's presence in your life. He is close to each one of you as a companion, as a friend who knows how to help and understand you, who encourages you in difficult times and never abandons you. Great topic. Great topic. So, we're going to say a prayer to Mary, Blessed Mother, who had a very, very deep relationship with Christ. She was His mother. She's our mother too. And all of us will grow in our friendship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Let's say the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's praise and glorify the Blessed Trinity as we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. God bless, and have a good week.